Good morning and welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. I'm the conductor of the crazy train today. I hope you're having a good day so far, wherever or actually whenever that day may be. To those of you on Facebook Live this morning, greetings and salutations. Thanks for being there. It's good to have you along. We're having a big day so far. At least we are here. I mean, behind the scenes, things are really great. I mean, out where you are, I don't know. I just don't know. But those of you listening via podcast, hey, thanks for joining in and subscribing. I appreciate that a lot. Wow. You know, I have days where I watch the news going by and I just have to scratch my head and wonder how sane, rational, honest people can believe what they're being told by ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and the like. I just have to wonder. And then I remember, oh yeah, they believe what they want to believe. And then that gets me more distraught, because why do people want to believe the things that they're being lied to about? Why? Why do they want to believe that we're in crisis in so many areas and that we need to be rescued? Why do they believe that someone like Bernie Sanders is a viable candidate for president? Why do they believe that someone like Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, who lied for years about her ancestry in order to make money, why do they think she is a viable candidate for president? Why do they believe that someone like Kamala Harris, who I'm going to demonstrate in just a few minutes, has a very loose grip on reality? Why do they believe when she lies to them about guns? Why do they believe that she is a viable candidate for the presidency? It's because they want to believe those things. Why do they want to believe those things? I'm almost at a loss for words because of it. Because if you're like me, you've seen enough life go by that you have seen the difference between reality and the fantasy that many people hold on to. And you recognize the fact that people today, I would say most people in their lower 40s or maybe 40 and under, 40 and younger, really don't have a good grip on how the world works. And I think that's true. That was true of you and I as well. I'm beyond that now. And for the sake of honesty, full disclosure, I'm 62. Was born in 57. It was a great year for a car and for me. And I've lived long enough and I've had enough life experience to see that politicians are pond scum, that they're liars. By and large, for the most part, they lie to get where they are, and they lie to stay where they are, and they don't do it because they love the country. They do it because they enjoy what they're doing, and they're making a lot of money doing it. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And people younger don't really understand that as well as people who have some history, some life experience. That's the primary reason that progressives, leftists, tell young people not to trust anybody over the age of 30 or so. The reason is that people over the age of 30, especially beyond the age of 40, those people have developed enough, they've lived enough life to have seen enough BS and enough truth to know which is which. And at that point, they have enough confidence in their lives and in what they've seen and what they've experienced to be able to make a really quick judgment when someone is telling them that they can use 2 cents on every dollar just from the ultra rich in America to pay off everybody's college, 95% of all college debt. Now, I don't care if the math works on that or not. There's a bigger principle involved. We'll talk about that in just a moment. If you're beyond that age, you've seen enough life, you've got enough life experience to know that when someone like Kamala Harris is telling you that we need universal background checks on all gun purchases, you know she is painting a lie as a picture of a situation, because we already have background checks. Every licensed, federally licensed gun dealer is required by a federal law to run a background check on you. Even if you are the president of the United States, they have to run a background check on you before they can sell you a gun. But people eat it up. They think, oh, we need universal background checks because of the lies. And then there are people who think it was reasonable for Starbucks to open their doors to anyone and everyone and let anyone and everyone use their restrooms, whether they were customers or not, because not to do so would be hate and discrimination. Well, discrimination, yes, because all of us use discrimination in our daily lives to keep from driving into the ditch. Hate? No. It doesn't mean you hate someone if you don't let them into your house. It means you love the people in your house more. That's not that hard to understand. But people want to believe that Starbucks was evil for not letting people in. And now, because they're letting everybody in, regardless of what their business may be, they're having to put in sharps boxes. And you in medicine know what that is. Those of you who don't, they're having to put in boxes for people to put their used needles after they shoot drugs in their restrooms. Because employees have been stuck cleaning up. They've actually been stuck by needles while doing cleanup in the restrooms. But that's perfectly reasonable to people with no life experience. Well, that makes sense. But those of us who have some life experience, we raise an eyebrow and say, that's nuts. Who thinks that's right? Only the people with no life experience. They're the ones who think that's right. I've told you that, two or three things trying to get out of my mouth at one time. Having dealt with raising offspring to the point of adulthood, I have watched this happen in my son's life. I have watched this kind of thing happening in other lives as well. And I've told you that my wife and I, we've been just to pass the time, just to wind down, you know, because there's just garbage on television. We watch a pretty good amount of stuff on YouTube because it tends to be entertaining. YouTubers who are just real people who turn a camera on themselves and just kind of record their daily lives and the like. And some of them, you just shake your head and wonder how they manage to tie their shoes. And others, they're having a great time and they're just sharing their life with you. And those folks are fun to watch. And I've told you about this couple that does travel and leisure videos. And we have gotten to where they've got the library of like 3,600 of these things. And we've been working our way through them, just enjoying what they're going through and living vicariously through them. Because at this point in our lives, there is no money being used. We're not using anything for travel right now. We have other priorities. So we're not playing. We're focused on some other things. Well, so we are playing through people on YouTube is what we're doing. And I've been watching this couple who are in their upper 30s now, and watching this couple whose view on life, their views on life are based on their experiences. And their experiences have all been shaped by what they watch on television and what they watch on social media and services like YouTube. The husband has said many times, I'm not a reader, I don't read. He has said that to the camera many times. He reads what he reads. He reads just when he's curious about something, he digs up information online. But he doesn't read literature. He doesn't read research. He doesn't pick up books. So his entire worldview is based on what is fed to him by the internet. The wife is a happy homemaker. Kudos to her for that. But she also spends her day watching garbage television, and I'm just going to call it what I think it is. It's quote reality TV shows, wife swap, garbage like that. That stuff that's all rehearsed and scripted, and they reenact scenes for dramatic effect and the like. By the way, all reality quote in quotes reality television does that. Something will happen that a camera misses, and they will reenact a scene because they thought it was going to be good for the show and the like. At any rate, she watches that all day long. And then they spend their evenings watching television shows and movies fed to them by web services like Hulu and the like. Hulu, Netflix, and such. So all of their influence on their thinking, on their minds, is coming from the entertainment realm. And what little news they get is filtered through the accepted news outlets like CNN. And their opinions are shaped by the opinions of other people in their age group. And they are all watching and listening to and reading the same things they are. And one of the videos was the two of them sitting on their sofa, and they were obviously distraught. And they've done this a couple of times. They've had a couple of life experiences which have shaken them pretty badly, and they took a break from vlogging, from doing their video blogs, because they didn't want to be on camera unhappy. Because that's the whole thing with them, is they're happy and they're having fun, and that's what attracts people, and I get that. So they didn't want to be on camera distraught about something. I know from watching their videos that one of those things was when they found out they couldn't have kids. I get that. Take a break. You need your privacy. You don't need to be living your life in front of the camera when something like that happens. Another time was right after the election in 2016. They had taken a break for a few days, and they were visibly, emotionally devastated when they finally got back on camera. They both said they were scared for the future. They both said they were frightened. They were upset. They couldn't understand how this happened, but they have to move forward. They have to press on. And my wife, Jane, and I were both watching this. And I turned and glanced over in her direction. And she had the expression on her face. Her mouth is hanging open. Her eyebrows are jammed together. And I could tell her wheels are turning, and she is thinking, what the heck? What? You're scared? Scared of what? And then I actually got to the point where I just can't listen to them whine anymore. And so I bumped past that video, and we started watching the next one. And after that, I stopped things, and we sat and chatted for a few minutes. And I told Jane the reason that they're upset is because they get all of their information from CNN and from their friends on social media. And if you read what this particular age group is posting to social media, they're all posting horrible things about our president. They're all posting horrible wishes for him and his family. They're all posting just nastiness. The vulgarity level is very high. And the ignorance level is astoundingly high. And that is this generation. This generation, that almost 40, around 40 and younger, are getting all of their information. With rare exceptions, they're getting all of their information from the entertainment industry, sports, which is an entertainment industry, sports figures, entertainers, Their opinions are everything. After all, we've got to buy this new V8 purple because so-and-so is on his purple diet. That's all she eats. That was one of the things we've seen. They're getting all of their information from idiots and liars and political manipulators. And they believe the world is burning. And they're afraid for their future. And they're angry. Because people like Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, these people are lying to them and scaring them so that they can be their hero and change their future. And that's what we're dealing with today. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton. Mark Congleton here. Wow, I got to stop eating cookies during the show. I'm your sometimes humble host, and I'm glad you're there. And thank you for subscribing to the podcast, being here on Facebook Live, and as well, subscribing to the newsletter. We'll get into the newsletter again very shortly, but thanks to you guys for being there as well. Well, I've mentioned two or three people here in the run-up in the first segment, and I want to dig into the latest from a couple of them. First up, let's look at what's up with Pocahontas. This woman, Elizabeth Warren, who lied about her ancestry in order to get a $400,000+ a year job at Harvard University, and was proudly announced as their first Native American hire, when in fact she was not. In fact, you probably have more Native American ancestry than Elizabeth Warren does. And I believe me, myself, and I believe she knew that. But that's another story from another day. Today, she's on the campaign trail. She hopes to be the first female president of the United States of America. And in order to achieve that goal, she's doing what she does best, which is lying. Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to use taxpayer money to cancel hundreds of billions of dollars in student loan debt and offer debt-free college for millions more, which would cost, over the next 10 years, over the next decade, $1.25 trillion. That's $1.25 trillion in order to achieve her goal. Remember where this money is coming from. In a blog post on Medium, the Massachusetts Democrat said the huge student loan debt burden is crushing millions of families and acting as an anchor on our economy. It's reducing home ownership rates. It's leading fewer people to start businesses. It's forcing students to drop out of school before getting a degree. It's a problem for all of us. Let's listen to what she actually had to say in response to a question about this at a town hall. This is about 4 minutes long. Just listen, and we'll dig back into it afterwards.
I, like so many other students, had to take out loans to pay for my education that I will be paying off for years. What is your plan to deal with student debt and the rising cost of education?
Okay, thanks for the question, Dina. You know, this is the America we live in now. Basically, to get a shot at a middle-class life, you've got to have some post-high school technical training, two-year college, four-year college, maybe graduate school, depending on who you are and what you're ending up doing. The position of the federal government has been, good luck to you, you're on your own. The one thing they've done is they've lent tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of dollars to our students, and it is now crushing them. So my proposal is to say this isn't right. What we have to do as a country is roll back that debt. And so I have two parts to the proposal. Part one is that we say that we are going to roll back student loan debt for about 95% of students who have debt. That's part one. And part two is to make sure that we never get in this mess again on student loan debt, and that is to make college universally available with free tuition and fees, and to put more money into Pell Grants so that students of color, so that our poorest students have real access to college, and that we put some real money into our historically black colleges and universities. This is about opportunity for everyone. And can we talk about how to pay for it?
I was just about
for
to
a
ask
minute.
That.
You want to ask?
Well, because that is the criticism, obviously, from Republicans to say, how are you going to pay for it? And even from some centrist Democrats who say, doesn't this feed the narrative that Democrats just want to give everything away for free?
So let's remember where this all started. I started in several months ago talking about a wealth tax, an ultra-millionaire's tax. It's 2 cents on every dollar of the great fortunes above $50 million. So your 50 millionth and first dollar, you got to pay 2 cents and 2 cents on all of the dollars after that. And here's the stunning part. If we ask the great fortunes in this country, and understand, this isn't about trying to be nasty or say that you've done anything wrong. What it's about is saying, look, you had a great idea, you got out there, you've worked hard, or you inherited well, whichever one it was.
You notice how she paused for the class envy applause?
But now that you've got that great fortune, spend just a minute to remember how you got it. You built that great business, or your ancestors did, using workers that all of us helped pay to educate. You got your goods to market using roads and bridges that all of us helped pay to build. You were protected in your factories with firefighters and police officers that all of us helped to pay. And we say, good for you that you have now gotten this great fortune, but 2 cents, you got to pay something back so everybody else gets a chance. And here's how the money works out. If we put that 2 cent wealth tax in place on the 75,000 largest fortunes in this country, 2 cents, we can do universal child care for every baby 0 to 5, universal pre-K, universal college, and knock back the student loan debt burden for 95% of our students, and still have nearly $1 trillion left over.
Now, 2 cents on every dollar over 50 million. Over 50 million. And an additional, by the way, 1% on tax on wealth above a billion. This is a tax on the wealthiest 75,000 families in the country. 75,000. What she's not telling you, or anyone in this room who are cheering all the proper talking points, is that those people are already paying the majority of the tax burden in our nation today. Those people and their businesses are already shouldering the load by a percentage much, much greater than any other segment of our society. So when they talk, when someone like her talks about these people, the wealthiest 75,000 families in the country, just doing their, quote, fair share, end quote, paying their fair share of taxes, they never, ever tell you that those people are already paying way beyond their fair share of taxes. Especially when almost 50%, almost half of the nation pays no taxes at all. So once again, this woman, this socialist, seeks to eat the rich in order to feed the poor. And once again, she and people like her ignore the fact that when they do this, the supply will dry up because these people will move their fortunes. They have done it time and time again. It has happened time and time again. Socialism, which is what this is, it's disguised. It's painted as some laudable, heroic program to help these kids who are in debt, these families who can't achieve their dreams because of their college debt. I'll deal with that in a second. This program is funded by what? Capitalism. Without capitalism, it can't succeed. If she succeeds in doing this, then capitalism will crumble even more. There will be less of it. There will be less free market exchange of money for goods and services. There will be less money to use. Something that people like her don't tell you is that if you confiscate every dime from every productive person in the United States of America and liquidate all of their assets, you can't pay for the running of government for a year. They won't tell you that. They'll just make it seem like they can tax 75,000 people, 75,000 families, and solve all the world's problems. And it's not true. They're lying to you about the math. They're lying to you about the principles. They're just promising you unicorns, rainbows, and your favorite kind of pie. Free ice cream for everybody, and the rich are paying for it. And it's always been a lie, and it's still a lie. What caused the student loan debt problem? People like Elizabeth Warren did. Because they have brainwashed everyone into believing that every breathing person must have a college degree in order to survive. And that's a lie. Sure, she throws the trades in when she's talking about it, but she's talking about college educations. A trade education doesn't cost nearly as much, and it can be much, much more profitable in the long run. Once again, Elizabeth Warren is lying. Shocker. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Thanks for being part of the fun today. Oh, my. During the breaks, I usually scan through my sources, looking at what else is happening. Maybe I shouldn't do that, because it's really weird some days. It's just wrong. Oh, my gosh. I need to get focused here. I also mentioned earlier the newsletter. If you're a newsletter subscriber, hey, thanks for being part of the family. I really appreciate that. Every day, newsletter subscribers get my show notes, and that is the links. It's a stack. Yeah, I refer to it as my stack of stories, but it's all of the links to the stories that I talk about, like the one on Elizabeth Warren, the one we're about to talk about here with Kamala Harris, and others. I referred to Starbucks a while ago. That's also in the stack. May not be able to get to that complete story, but that's also in the stack, as well as the View Shrews. Joy Behar is raging again. Jerry Nadler has lied. He actually said that Donald Trump Jr. was offered stolen information in a Trump Tower meeting. It didn't happen, but Nadler and the leftists in the Democrat Party have got to keep the lie alive. And the people that I described in segment one, just believe it, because they don't get anything contradicting it. They just believe it. So this is what we're up against. And at any rate, I have more stuff like this that I won't get to. What else is there? Teachers in Rhode Island, a teachers union, let's put it this way, a teachers union in Rhode Island have lodged objection to a bill that would criminalize sex between school employees and students. They're objecting to criminalization of school employees having sexual contact with students. If you thought the world was going to hell, you were right. And then there's more. There's more. I won't get to all of it, but you will if you subscribe to the newsletter. You get my show notes, which consist of all the stories that we talk about during the hour, plus the stuff I don't get a chance to get to because of time. So get signed up today. Go to markcongleton.com and sign up. The sign up form's on the right hand side of the page. Because we use a double opt-in system, you will have to respond to an email to finalize the process. That's just to make sure you really want to get this, you really want to get the newsletter, because we've had some stupid things happen in the past with people who are just too lazy to do things the right way. So please get signed up today and start getting the notes as they come to you day by day by day. I just posted a photo, by the way, on social media of the studio in the midst of things. I just, for some reason, felt like, hey, I want to take a picture of the computer screens. So that's there if you'd like to see it. Okay, moving forward, Kamala Harris. So Senator Kamala Harris, she's a Democrat from California. She has said that if she is elected president, she'll give Congress 100 days to act on gun control. If they don't, she'll take matters into her own hands. She said this during a CNN town hall on Monday. She supports universal background checks and an assault weapons ban, and she told the audience she will use her executive power to take action on gun control if Congress doesn't pass the laws she wants. And it went something like this.
Because there are people in Washington, D.C., supposed leaders, who have failed to have the courage to reject a false choice, which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. Supposed leaders in Washington, D.C., who have failed to have the courage to recognize, you know what, you want to go hunting, that's fine. But we need reasonable gun safety laws in this country, starting with universal background checks and a renewal of the assault weapon ban. But they have failed to have the courage to act. So, Ben, here's my response to you. Upon being elected, I will give the United States Congress 100 days to get their act together and have the courage to pass reasonable gun safety laws. And if they fail to do it, then I will take executive action. And specifically, what I will do is put in place a requirement that for anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, they are required to do background checks when they sell those guns. I will require that for any gun dealer that breaks the law, the ATF take their license. And by the way, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Well, the ATF has been doing a lot of the A and the T, but not much of the F. And we need to fix that. And then...
All right. She is, as usual, beating the leftist drum for a friendly crowd. And we need to take this apart bit by bit because, honestly, there's just a lot of BS in this. So let's listen again, and then we'll stop and start, and examine it.
Because there are people in Washington, D.C., supposed leaders, who have failed to have the courage to reject a false choice, which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away.
And really what this amounts to is she does want to take everyone's guns away. And everyone who, every now and then, one of these people will be absolutely honest in their speeches. And you will find out that is exactly what they want. Dianne Feinstein is one. Go listen back to her old stuff.
Which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. Supposed leaders in Washington, D.C., who have failed to have the courage to recognize, you know what, you want to go hunting, that's fine. But we need reasonable gun safety laws in this country, starting with universal background checks and a renewal of the assault weapon ban.
Now, universal background checks, this is code speak. This is code speak for eliminating the, quote, gun show loophole, end quote. You'll notice that many of these anti-gun politicians don't use that term anymore, the gun show loophole. Some still do, because some people blindly believe that there is a gun show loophole. There isn't. I'll explain that in a moment. they're using the term universal background checks, because how could you possibly object to everyone having a background check who wants to buy a firearm? That's reasonable, right? Well, federally licensed gun dealers are all required by federal law to do a background check on everyone, as I said before, including the President of the United States, should they walk in and seek to buy a firearm. Now, an individual, a private individual who is not in business to sell guns, a collector, someone who sells one from time to time to an interested party, they don't, because they're not federally licensed. And that number of dealerships, that number of sales is very, very low. It's not nearly as much as the federal gun dealers are doing. But they can't say gun show loophole with any level of reality or honesty anymore and be accepted because they've been shot down so many times. And just in case you don't know, the percentage, let's put it this way. People in federal prison for using guns during a crime, whether it be an act of gun violence or a robbery or whatever, were interviewed. And the percentage of the guns purchased by these criminals at gun shows was less than 3%. Less than 3% of guns used in the act of crime have been purchased at gun shows. So the gun show loophole is just another lie. It's there to instill fear. We've got to do something about the gun shows. Crooks are buying guns at gun shows. They don't have to go through background checks at gun shows. These people would have you run a background check on your brother if he wants to buy your shotgun. That's who and what these people want. Let's move forward.
But they have failed to have the courage to act. So, Ben, here's my response to you.
Oh, she also mentioned the assault weapons ban. What most people don't understand about the assault weapons ban is that it did nothing. It did nothing. Manufacturers looked at the conditions under the assault weapons ban and altered their guns so they didn't fit the descriptions anymore, and people still bought them legally. And none of those guns purchased legally were used by people who purchased them legally to commit gun crimes. The assault weapons ban is just more blathering for people who believe there is a serious problem.
Upon being elected, I will give the United States Congress 100 days to get their act together and have the courage to pass reasonable gun safety laws. And if they fail to do it, then I will take executive action. And specifically what I will do is put in place a requirement that for anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, they are required to do background checks when they sell those guns.
Here we go. This is about the gun show loophole again. That's what this is. Because everyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, most of them are probably federally licensed. So this is about the gun show loophole. This is the drum they're still beating on. They're trying to instill fear into the people over something that doesn't really exist.
I will require that for any gun dealer that breaks the law, the ATF take their license. And by the way, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Well, the okay. ATF is all right, enough of that. Now, a gun dealer, they have to be federally licensed, right? Well, if they break federal law, they get caught. Guess what happens? They're going to lose their license. They can't do business anymore. They're going to pay stiff fines. They may end up in prison. She's offering a solution that already exists. So basically speaking, Kamala Harris is fanning the flames of the fire for no reason whatsoever. We don't really have a gun problem in America. We have an ignorance problem. And Kamala Harris and people like her are feeding the ignorance. Getting back into the saddle here, it's the Daily Perspective. Hi there. You know, yesterday I spoke about how Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and others on the left offered their condolences to Easter worshipers after the mass killings in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday. And I'm not the only person that noticed this. I mean, a lot of people did. And it's just a sad state of affairs when people in government and in the media refuse to acknowledge Christianity. They just don't. We live in a country which basically was founded on faith. And the principles used in our founding are biblical faith principles. I won't get into that today. It's just I don't have time. There's less than 10 minutes left in the show, and that would take a long time. But I encourage you to do some studying. Oh, yeah, well, those people were all theists. Oh, just shut up and go back to your corner. Your mom's basement needs to be cleaned up anyway. Get busy. The thing is that these people were applying solid principles. And today, principles and standards have been thrown out. And we can't acknowledge anything that has solid principles and actually is an application of standards. Because if we do that, then we have to acknowledge that certain things in our society and in our life today are way off target. They're so far off the radar, it's amazing that they exist. But we've been programmed, we've been beaten into submission, and we must allow certain things to happen. We must allow, our businesses must allow people to come in and shoot up in our restrooms. That's just one example. Well, yesterday some conservatives went after Democrats on and offline after some prominent members of the party referred to victims, the victims of the terror attacks on churches in Sri Lanka, as Easter worshipers instead of Christians on Twitter. Several conservatives, including the counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, and former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, took issue with some Democrats who referred to those affected by the horrific acts in Sri Lanka on Sunday as Easter worshipers. Specifically, they went after former President Barack Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Newt Gingrich said, "How do President Obama and Secretary Clinton both come up with Easter worshipers in their tweets about the murders in Sri Lanka? To have both of them use the same term in the same day is strange. Is Easter worshiper the left's new way to avoid the word Christian?" Pathetic. Kellyanne Conway was pressed about her thoughts on the reason behind the choice of words while on air with Fox News yesterday, to which she responded, "I have no idea. You'd have to ask them that. But there's no confusion on our part." She said, "Easter worshipers, yeah, I don't really know what that means." The choice of words caught overseas attention as well, with Hungary's ambassador to the Holy See, Eduard von Habsburg, giving his thoughts on the matter. He said, "It's Christians that have been killed, not Easter worshipers. Let's repeat that for all who try to skirt the word Christians. And just once more, Christians." Fox News' own Brit Hume also weighed in. He said, "Easter worshipers, a.k.a. Christians." Kaya Jones from the Pussycat Dolls, she also gave her take. She said, "The people killed in Sri Lanka weren't Easter worshipers. They were Christians. You have no problem saying other faiths. The Christians who were killed senselessly are heroes. Please show some respect for them. Christians. They were Christians, followers of Christ." That's the world we live in today. We're being conditioned. More and more often we're seeing in social media and in the news that Christianity is painted in a negative light. Now, you've seen it, where when you talk about the horrific things being done by Muslim terrorists around the world, some basement dweller will bring up the Crusades. Yeah, well, you know, the Crusades. And their ignorance is just monumental. By the way, in case that happens to you, let me give you a little something to say. The Crusades happened after 400 years of Muslim atrocity. The Crusades happened after 400 years of aggression. Muslims building their caliphate, taking over nation after nation, city after city, demanding compliance with their religion or death, torturing and murdering people because they would not abandon their Christian faith. That's when the Crusades happened. The Crusades happened as a response to Muslim atrocities, to Muslim terrorism, to Muslim aggression. That was the Crusades. It wasn't just one day somebody with a pointy hat said, hey, let's go attack the Muslims. That's not what was going on. It was war. Because the Muslims had victimized so many thousands upon thousands of people. And they finally had to be dealt with. That was what the Crusades was about. Just keep that in your hat. You can use it later. Last Friday, the New York Times published a piece by a writer who has reported for the Times as well as edited at the New York Times Magazine, in which he never acknowledged that Jesus was Jewish, said it was unlikely he was white, said he was likely to have been a Palestinian. Ed Coppedge, he's black. He wrote, as I grew older, I learned that the fair-skinned, blue-eyed depiction of Jesus has for centuries adorned stained glass windows and altars in churches throughout the United States and Europe. But Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was most likely a Palestinian man with dark skin. In the 600-plus words of Coppedge's piece, he never acknowledges that Jesus was Jewish, which is obvious from every text of the Bible. Instead, neatly aligning his perspective with the New York Times penchant, consistently siding with Palestinian Arabs in disputes with Israel. He only resorts to calling Jesus a Palestinian. I don't know about you, but it's been ages, probably since my childhood, that I thought Jesus was that guy you see in the pictures, the white guy with the perfect hair, the long flowing hair. He was a Middle Eastern guy. He was a Middle Eastern Jew. He had dark skin. He had probably had kinky hair. He was not an ad for some hair color. He just wasn't. Coppedge opined, now, even though cultures across the world may at times show a Jesus that reflects their own story, a white Jesus is still deeply embedded in the Western story of Christianity. It's become often impossible to separate Jesus and white from the American psyche. I'm also interested in how white Christians feel about images of Christ. How do you feel about the possibility that Christ may not have looked the way he's been portrayed for centuries in the United States and Europe? If you've seen Christ depicted as a man of color, what was your reaction? Well, as Noah Pollock succinctly noted on Twitter, quote, the Palestinians are indigenous to Israel lie is more commonly believed than I thought. History lesson for New York Times editors, Palestinians are Arabs. Arabs didn't conquer the area until 700 years after Jesus was crucified. Jesus was not an Arab. The name Palestine for the area that was home of the Jewish people only came into existence after the Romans exiled the bulk of the Jewish people from Judea in the 2nd century AD, long after the period in which Jesus lived. Eager to erase the Jewish identity to the land, the Roman Emperor Hadrian did something that had heretofore been unheard of for the Romans, who never changed the name of provinces. He named the area Palestina, after the Jews' ancient enemies, the Philistines. The Philistines had been defeated by King David in his memorable defeat of Goliath. They were again defeated by David's descendant, King Hezekiah. They eventually were completely defeated by the Assyrians and had ceased to exist long before the Jews fought with Rome. So, Hadrian was poking at the Jewish people by renaming the region for their long-time enemies. The whole Palestinian story is essentially a lie. Do your research. But it's accepted, and idiocy like this, Jesus being a Palestinian, is accepted today. Because people enjoy being ignorant and letting people in power think for them. Don't do that. Think for yourself. And I'll see you tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.